I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to get this tape distributed, the tape of this message that I'm about to bring. I'd like to have it circulated. Let's run a special on it, okay? Free of charge to anybody who will go in the tape room and get it and give it to somebody else who's a member of this congregation, okay? Somebody's not here tonight. I want everybody to hear this message. So Ronnie will get it ready pretty shortly, if you would, Ronnie. And the title of this message is Faith Without Works is Dead. Faith without works is dead. Dead. And I want everybody to hear this message. Now, in James chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to read verse 14 through 20. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? He says he has faith. He says he believes God. And he has not works. No works to justify that faith. No works to back up that faith. Can that faith save him? Can that kind of faith save a man's soul? Well, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him. Now remember verse 14 says, as a man say he has faith. Words. And this man is naked and destitute of food, and somebody says to him, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give him not those things that are needful to the body, that is, some clothes to warm him and food to fill him. What does it profit? He can't be warmed by words. He can't be clothed by words. Even so, in the same manner, faith, if it hath not works, faith, if it's in word only, is dead. It's dead, being by itself, having no evidence, having no proof. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith. Justify your faith. Convince me that you believe. Show me your faith without works. And I'll show you my faith. I'll justify my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes there's one God, and he trembles. But wilt thou know, O foolish man, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Was his faith not justified by works? That's what he's asking. When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, faith which produced works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith Abraham believed God. How do we know Abraham believed God? He proved he believed God. And that kind of faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Not just any faith, but that faith which produced those works. And he was called the friend of God. He was the friend of God. He didn't say he was the friend of God. God called him the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man's faith is justified? And not by faith only, not by word only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead. A body, and that word spirit, look in your margin and see what that word spirit is. Breath. The body without breath is dead. Breath is dead. And so faith without works is dead. Now God has spoken to us. The scripture says by the prophets. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And the words that God said to our fathers through the prophets are in this book. And the words which God has said to us or spoken to us by his Son are in this book. This is the Word of God. And the importance of these words, the importance of these words is beyond expression. The importance of these words which God has spoken to us by his prophets and by his sons is beyond understanding. It's so vastly important. For every man, every person, this preacher, every person out here is going to one day meet these words again. These words spoken by the prophets and spoken by the Son, we're going to meet them again because they're the eternal Word of God. And where we're going to meet them is the judgment. Now listen to the, turn to the book of John. I want you to hold your finger in James. We're coming back there in a few moments. But turn to John 12. These words that I'm speaking tonight, these words which we're reading tonight, we're going to meet them again. We're going to meet these words in the judgment. And John 12, listen to beginning with verse 44. Let's start with verse 47. John 12:47. And if any man hear my words, and believe not what? My words. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. What will that be? The words that I've spoken. The words that I've spoken. The same words will judge him in the last day. He heard the word. Or he could have heard the word. Or he read the word. And I don't have to judge him. I didn't come to condemn men or to judge men. I came that they might have life. But what the man's going to meet up with is my word again. The same words, Jim, that he heard. And wouldn't receive. The same words that he heard and wouldn't obey. They're going to meet him again. They're going to meet him at the judgment. And those words are going to judge him. Verse 49, for I've not spoken of myself. But the Father which has sent me, these are eternal words, eternal both ways. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment, his word, is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Now there in that portion, our Master speaks of receiving his word, believing his word, walking in his word, and refusing his word, and rejecting his word. And I'm deeply, personally, and I know many of you are, I'm so deeply interested in receiving his word. Not just a doctrine. I'm interested in receiving his word and believing his word and walking in his word. Aren't you? His word, the word of God Almighty. All right, this receiving the word of God, rejoicing in the word of God, believing the word of God involves three things. Three things. First of all, it is receiving his word as the Word of God. That's what it involves. It's whether I'm preaching or someone else is preaching, whether we're reading the Bible ourselves or someone else is reading the Bible. This thing of receiving the Word of God is, first of all, receiving it as His Word. Now, let me read you a scripture, and I want you to turn to it 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, it is receiving the Word as it is, the Word of God. The Word of God. This, what I'm trying to preach tonight and what we're reading is not my thoughts. It's not my commandments. It's not my requirements. It's not my expectations. It's God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, for this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of me, of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men. It's not a question. I don't care for what Brother Mahan preaches. I don't care for what Brother Harding preaches. I don't care for what Brother Coffey preaches. I don't care for what Brother Fortner preaches. These are not our words. You don't receive it as the word of men. But as it is in truth, it's the word of God. It's not to be argued. It's not to be debated. It's the Word of God. And that Word worketh effectually. Effectually worketh also in those that believe. It's the powerful Word of God. It's the regenerating Word of God. It's the Word of God that is able to make a man a new creature. It's God. That's how we receive it, as the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And let this first be settled. This is first and foremost. We don't preach ourselves. We preach the Word of God. We preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. So the first thing of receiving the Word and believing the Word is receiving it as it is in truth. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. All right, secondly, and it's receiving it by faith. We don't have any signs to show. We don't have any proof to give. Turn to Hebrews 4. It's receiving it by faith. By faith. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Listen to this. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Well, verse 19 of Hebrews 3. See that last verse there of Hebrews 3? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them. Now let me tell you something. That's a horrible notion, isn't it? The word of God preached, the word of God, and it doesn't profit you. It doesn't profit you. It doesn't profit you. Wouldn't that be terrible? Well, it was preached to Israel. It didn't profit them. Well, why didn't it profit them? All right, read on. Why didn't it profit? The word of the gospel was preached to them, but it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. And many people will say, and many of what we call Calvinist, grace people. Some grace people, they say, well now, I'm with you so far. I believe that's the Word of God. I believe that's the Word of God. I receive it as the Word of God. I don't follow a man. We're quite proud of the fact we don't follow men. In fact, some of us are so proud we don't follow men as we won't even listen to a man. And that's dangerous. Because we can't pastor ourselves. You say, I know that's the Word of God and I believe it. And that's as far as they go. That's as far as they wish to go. They hear the Word of God. They profess to believe it. They hear the doctrine. They claim to hold it. They hear the Word of God. They even discuss it. They defend it and they argue it. But there's a third thing to receiving this Word of God. There's a third thing. There's hearing it as the Word of God, not as the Word of men. Two, there's believing it. But three, doing it. Doing it. Now look at James chapter 2. We were right there in James chapter 2, and I've always told you, go back a little bit. Always go back a little bit when you're reading something. Go back. So we go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 22. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. Not, and not hearers only. It's more than hearing, right, John? It's more than hearing. It's more than hearing it as the Word of God. It's more than hearing it with a ready ear. There's some doing involved. Be ye doers of the Word of God and not hearers only, for those who are hearers only are deceiving themselves. A man who hears the Word of God and claims to believe the Word of God but does not obey the Word of God is deceiving himself. He's deceiving himself. And verse 23 says, I'll show you an example, James said. Verse 23 of James 1. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he doesn't have evidence of faith and works of faith and proof of faith and justifying conduct of faith. Well, he says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you know what he's like? He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. And he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. In other words, a man who reads the Word of God and does not obey the Word of God and does not do what the Word of God says is like a man who looks into the mirror, and the mirror says to him, this is what the mirror's reflection declares to him, your hair's mussed up. Your teeth need some work done on them. Your beard, your whiskers are offensive. Your face is dirty. And he looks into that mirror, and that mirror says that to him. Isn't that right? That's what that mirror says to him. And he hears what the mirror says. The mirror speaks to him, and the mirror, he knows it's so. He knows what the mirror is saying is so. But he turns and walks away and does nothing about it. He forgets what the mirror says. He ignores what the mirror says. Well, James says that's what a man's like, that hears the Word of God and knows exactly what it's saying and doesn't do it. But, watch this, verse 25. Well, perhaps the man might stand in front of the Word of God and hear it and say, but I'm saved by grace. It doesn't matter whether I'm faithful. It doesn't matter whether I'm gracious. It doesn't matter whether I'm generous. It doesn't matter whether I manifest any fruit of the Spirit. Those things do not matter. I'm saved by grace. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold it. You're not listening to what the mirror is saying. But he said, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now this, we ran into that a while ago, didn't we? The law of liberty. The law of liberty. What's this law of liberty? Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty in Christ. We're not under a legal law. We're under the royal law of the King. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself and God with all your heart. It's the law of love. We've been delivered from the law. We've been delivered from the curse of the law. We've been delivered from the dominion of the law. We're looking into the law of liberty. And that law of liberty says, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. That law of liberty says, love one another as I've loved you. That law of liberty says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what the law of liberty says? The law of liberty says, wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. And be not bitter against them. The Word of God, the law of liberty, says, husbands, love your wives as you love your own body. The law of liberty says, children, obey your parents. The law of liberty says, parents, be kind to your children and discipline your children and don't be bitter against your children and don't kill their spirit, but direct them in the things of the Lord. The law of liberty says, it's abstain from every appearance of evil. The law of liberty says, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. The law of liberty says, walk in the Spirit and do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The law of liberty says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. It says, look not every man on his own things, but the things of others. It says, be content with what you have and avoid covetousness. It says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your souls. That's the law of liberty, is it not? All right, read on verse 25. Now, whoso looketh into this law, this is not the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. This is not the Levitical law. This is the law of liberty. This is the law of Christ. This is the law of the redeemed life. And whosoever looks into this law and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, like the man that looked into the glass, but he's a what? He's a doer. He's a doer. He's not just a hearer. He's a doer. He's a doer of the work, and this man shall be blessed in his doing. In his doing. My friends, we're saved by grace. I've preached what we call salvation by grace now for soon be 40 years. We're saved by sovereign grace. We're saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. There's no works or circumcision or duties to be performed. We're saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved. And we're saved by faith alone. Faith alone, that faith in Christ. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. I know that, I'm persuaded of that, I'm convinced of that, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But all faith's not saving faith. All faith's not saving faith. And this is what James is saying in our text in James 2:14. Now let's look at that text again. James 2:14. All faith's not saving faith. What doth it profit, my brethren? Now read it again, James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith. And that's, we hear that constantly. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the fall of man. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. I believe that Christ is the only Savior. I believe God quickens the dead. Men say these things. They say these things. They say they have faith. But if he has not works, he has no works. He has no labor of love. He has no works of faith. Well, this is what James is asking. Can this kind of faith save? Can this faith that's in word only, this faith that consists in a confession, can that kind of faith save him? And then he gave that illustration I mentioned to you. He said, here's a man that's naked, a brother or sister's naked, has no clothes, and it's cold outside, and they're hungry, and they have no food, and one of you say to him, be warmed. Words won't warm him. Be covered. Words won't cover him. Be filled. Words won't fill him. Even so faith. And that's what he says. Even so faith, verse 17, that's in word only. That kind of faith will not clothe a naked sinner. That kind of faith cannot fill a hungry sinner. It just can't do it. It's futile and it's false and it's dead. That kind of faith. And these words right here will rise up someday in judgment against people who say their whole religious conviction and profession is wrapped up in what they say. There's a man called me from Florida last night. He gets our tapes. He lives in Panama City, Florida. And he talked about what a blessing that he had received from these tapes. He said he'd been listening to them about 2 years. His sister lives in Dingus, West Virginia. And she got him started listening to the tapes. And he said, I make copies of these tapes and I go out and give them to people because I want them to hear these tapes. I want them to hear this message. I want them to hear the gospel. I want them to come to know the Lord that I know. Now, he said, Brother Mann said, don't misunderstand me. He said, I don't go around wearing a sign. I'm a Christian. I don't wear a badge. But he said, I just believe if a man's a Christian, that he will want others to know his Lord too. I said, yeah. Brother Barnard said one time, if a man knows God, he doesn't have to shout it from the housetop. It'll leak out on him before too many years have passed by. And that's what James is saying here. If faith does not have works, it's dead. Being alone. It's dead, being alone. Verse 18. A person says he has faith. Now here he says, a man may say, thou hast faith. I have faith. A person says he has faith. Isn't it legitimate and fair to ask him to show you his faith? Prove you believe. Give me some evidence that you believe. Justify your faith. If a man says this thing, what he says here, show me your faith. Let me see your faith. Let me see. You say you have faith? Let me see it. Well, Abraham showed his. That's the example he gives down here. He showed he believed God. He showed he believed God. He justified what he justified by his works what he claimed with his mouth. He justified it. Abraham justified it. Abraham proved his faith. The harlot Rahab, he says she proved her faith. She justified her faith. She proved her faith. Proved it by what she did. And then someone may come back in verse 19 and say, well, I believe in one God. I believe in God's sovereignty. I believe God, the one God, one God. I believe in one God. I believe God's sovereign. I believe in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe in one God, a God of grace and mercy. I believe in one God, God who died on Calvary. I believe these things. Well, he says, my friend, the devil believes that. The devil believes all that. Isn't that true? I'm not stretching that thing. The devil believes every article of faith that you believe. He doesn't obey it, but he believes it. He doesn't love it, but he believes it. He doesn't walk in it, but he believes it. He doesn't glorify God, but he believes it. James is saying this. I'm not enforcing this message with my own words. I'm enforcing it here with the word. When this man says, show me your faith, he says, well, I believe in one God. He says, the devil believes that and trembles. And then he says in verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, O foolish man, that faith without works, without proof, without evidence, without agreeable conduct is dead? That faith is dead. That dry, dead, cold, doctrinal faith is dead. It's like a body without breath. It's dead. And it'll profit nothing. For example, let me give you some things that I've run into through the years. Here's a preacher that, and we said this thing of receiving the word is wrapped up in three things. It's hearing it as the word of God, right? Hearing it as the word of God. Not as the word of men, but as the word of God. Secondly, it's believing it. Believing it. But thirdly, it's believing it with a faith that does what it says. That's committed to its commandments. That's committed to its requirements. That's the man that believes. All right. Here's a preacher. And I've known many like this who hears the gospel. He may read it in one of the old Puritans. He may hear some sovereign grace preacher preach it. He may hear it in a seminary class. But he hears the true gospel of grace. He hears it. And he believes it. And he believes these things are, this is according to the Bible. But he doesn't preach it. He refuses to preach it, like the preacher I mentioned just last Sunday night, who the couple wrote to me and said their pastor in the study or in private conversation says, I believe these things, but when he gets in the pulpit, he won't preach it. He's afraid of the offense. He's afraid of the cost. He's afraid of the battle. Well, I would say to him, faith without works is dead. Doesn't that apply there? Faith without works is dead. That's not saving faith. He really doesn't believe it. That's the wrong kind of faith. And that kind of faith won't save. And then, secondly, here's a person running into lots like this. Here's a person who hears the Word of God. Person or persons. They hear the Word. They hear the Word of God. They even have taught the Word of God. They even have preached the Word of God. And they say it is the Word of God. And they say they believe it. But they do not worship God. When the church meets together, they find other things to do. They don't worship the God on the Lord's Day. They don't worship God on the special services. They come to worship God if it's convenient. They don't worship God on the Lord's Day. They don't pan after the Word of God. They don't identify themselves with the people of God. They don't identify themselves with those who preach the Word of God. They don't support them and pray for them. That's dead faith. That's dead faith. That's hearing and believing and not doing. Because the Word of God clearly says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, my soul panteth for thee, O God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Teach me thy word. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And people say, I believe all those things. But they don't desire it. They don't pan after it. They're not identified with it. They're out yonder somewhere. You know, through the years, I've found people do what they want to do. They're never late for work. They won't take a day off at all, especially when there's overtime coming. They can make all the ball games. They can make all the parties. They can make all... You can throw a potluck supper here and invite everybody, and they'll all come to that. That always did tear me up. Come in here on Sunday and stand up and preach and never see a person to go back there when they're feeding and see him. That's dead. Dead. Dead works. Dead faith. And then here's a man that says he hears the gospel, claims to believe it, even preach it. And then he can contemplate or consider or even carry out and walk off and leave a wife and children and still claim to believe this gospel. That's dead faith. That's not saving faith. I had a young fellow do that. He wrote to me. We were awfully close friends. Oh, just awfully close for years. And I wrote and told him this was contrary to God's word. And the thing for him to do is stay with his family and build his home. He promised when he stood before that preacher, I promise to love and cherish and honor till death alone shall part me. That's a vow before God, isn't it? And a man that can walk off from that, who can bring little children into the world and walk off, and he tells me that he loves God, that he loves the Word of God, that he believes in the glory of God. He's got faith, but it's dead as a hammer. That's true. Dead as a hammer. Not so. And this young man wrote me and says, how come you won't write to me? How come we not having any fellowship? I said, I got nothing to say to you. I've said all I got to say to you. And the door's closed. Because I don't think he has faith. I don't think he has faith. Do you? Is that saving faith? And people say this to me. They say they've heard the gospel. And this is what I'm saying, my friend, is this country is full of what we call grace believers, but not a whole lot of grace doers. And a man who's not a grace doer is not a grace believer. And I have people tell me they've heard the gospel of grace and believe it, but they don't give to support it. They don't support these missionaries. And a lot of them live in abundant fashion. And they're getting more abundant all the time. And everything God sends to them, they can spend on themselves. But they give no help to the missionaries. They say they love those faithful missionaries. Baloney. And they believe in those that put forth an effort to preach the gospel. Baloney. I say this, if you love the gospel and you love those that preach it, especially these faithful missionaries, show me your faith. Show me your faith. I want to see it. And it's not wrong to ask for it either. It's not wrong to ask for you to show me. Justify your faith. Prove you believe God. Old Abraham had one precious treasure, more than all the treasures he had, and his name was Isaac. And he took him up on a mountain and laid him on an altar. I believe he believes God. You've convinced me, boy. You've convinced me that you believe God. You've convinced me. God had something to say about him convincing somebody, didn't he? And then I run into people who hear the gospel and they say, I believe it. I'm a Calvinist. I'm a grace person.
But they're not very gracious. Just not very gracious.
They're unkind. They're unloving. They're unforgiving. They manifest an arrogant, divisive spirit. They're not humbled. They're not endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit for the glory of God. They keep the pastor tore up and the church tore up and other people torn up. They bring tears at night to the eyes of people who love them. And they do it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. I'm going to have my way no matter who it hurts.
That's dead faith. That's dead faith. They won't say.
No. And I hope I haven't preached the gospel in such a way as to give anybody the idea that it would. I hope I haven't. I may have, but I sure hope not. I sure hope not. I believe true grace is gracious. I believe true mercy is merciful. I believe true love is loving. I believe true faith is faithful. I believe true humility is contrite. A broken and a contrite spirit. I do. I believe true commitment
is committed. You committed? Are we committed?
Oh, I know that we're going to have trials. My soul, we've had a bunch of them and we're going to have some more. We have trials and struggles, personal struggles, family struggles, things that hurt, difficulties, misunderstandings, failures. I know that all along the road. This ain't no, well, I never promised you a rose garden. It's no rose garden. I know that. It's no flower-strewn pathway. I know that. The road of faith sometimes is rough to walk. If your feet aren't shod with the gospel and the grace of God, you bleed to death. I know that. But I'm telling you, I'm saying the bent of the wheel. I look around here, and I'm not going to call any names, but I tell you, Fanny Gillis is
the oldest one here.
Yes, she is. She's the oldest charter member of this church. Isn't that right, Fanny? Oldest charter member. But I look around here, and I see some folks that have stuck. Some folks that have demonstrated the grace of God. Some folks that have been faithful. Some folks that have given, some folks that have labored, some folks that have stood by the fort. And I'll tell you that, and some of them can't get up here and talk much. Some of them can't get up here and pray in public. Some of them couldn't sing a solo if you was going to shoot them in the morning. But I'll tell you something.
Being there is awful important. And your warmth and your fellowship and your encouragement and your gifts. And putting...
You know, there's an old statement, put your money where your mouth is. Well, that's what this is saying right here. Put your testimony where your words are indeed. And that's the kind of faith that saves. What I'm saying, this whole thing is the bent of the wheel. It's the tenor of the life. A true believer, the tenor of his life and the bent of his will is to glorify Jesus Christ and to finish his course in faith, whatever the cost. God can count on me, and God's people can count on me. And my wife can count on me, and my children can count on me. I'm not perfect. Paul said, I hadn't arrived. I don't know everything. Don't know very much. But true faith, see what I'm saying? True faith hears, true faith believes, and true faith, as God gives him the grace,
obeys.
And it works, and it builds relationships, and it glorifies God, and it rejoices in Christ, and it continues. It continues down that road of faith. Oh, the ship may go through the storm, and it may go over the rough places, and all these things. But I tell you this, that faith will continue. That faith will continue and stand up and be counted. And then it has, you see, that
faith has a commitment and an objective. When I come to the end of the way, end of life, I want to die in faith. I want to die in faith. And I'd like to hear him say, well done. Thou good and what? Faithful servant.
You've been faithful over a few things. Lord, you didn't give me a lot to do. That's all right. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter thy blessed one into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Do you understand what I've been trying to say? It's not words, not professions. Alone. It's a faith that works. A faith that's faithful. And that's the faith that saves. And a man can have some confidence in that kind of faith. All right.